Have a clicker now so I can forward the slides myself. I've been empowered. I don't have to tell Randy, flip the slide. So anyway, I'm driving. Anyway, so first of all, I wanted to say that last week's message, if you haven't listened to it, by Pastor Jeremy about a guarded heart, was really, really good. So if you weren't here or you didn't get a chance to listen to it, I'd really encourage you to do so. It was really great. We got to listen to it on the way home from our trip to Pennsylvania. So thank God for technology, right? So today I'm going to put a pause on my series on Jesus. We're going to pause that. And wanted to talk about something that's been on my heart, and it kind of goes along with what he was teaching. It's really about being spiritually minded versus being carnally minded. And I think I shared with you that back in October, the Lord spoke to me really clearly, telling me that I was hindering him because I was thinking too much in the natural, and he wanted me to be more spiritually minded. And like when he said it to me, it wasn't, you know, there was no condemnation, there was no guilt or anything. It's just when he says something to you, he always gives you the inspiration. Like he shows us something, and it's like, this is an area that you need to grow in. But he always empowers us and inspires us when he shows us those things. So he spoke that to me, and ever since then, the Lord has been bringing different teachings and books into my life that are kind of helped me with that, to see things differently. And one of the books was a book called Victorious Emotions. I shared this at the women's group and actually at the Bible College last week. But the woman who wrote the book is Wendy Backlund, and she said that the Lord spoke to her because she really struggled with depression and a lot of emotional ups and downs. And the Lord spoke to her and said, "Wendy, asking yourself how you feel today is the wrong question. You should instead ask yourself, what do I believe today? That is a much better question." When I read that, it was like, wow, that is such a good way of kind of framing like carnal mind versus spiritual mind. Because we're taught and we're trained to kind of go by what our emotions are. And we think that our emotions are speaking reality to us when really our emotions are a byproduct of what we believe. And so that's what I'm going to talk about today. We're going to talk about, we're going to go to Romans 8:6. Look at that. Woohoo. So Romans 8:6, it says before, to be carnally minded is death. Spiritually minded is life and peace. So I want to kind of break this down, and we're going to just take a look at this one scripture for a little bit. Carnally minded, first of all, it's the flesh. It's thinking in the natural. It's considered the weaker element in human nature. So when we're carnally minded, we're basically thinking just like, you know, just fleshly. We're just thinking ordinary. We're just thinking about this world. You know, so many of the songs that we sing talk about people are worshiping, and there's a spiritual reality that's present even though we can't necessarily see it, although the Lord can open our eyes to see it, right? Like there's angels in this room right now. I mean, I can guarantee you there's angels. We're worshiping the Lord, and so there's angels here. Now, we can't see them, but he can open our eyes to see them. We have to first know that they're there. But to be carnally minded is just kind of being just focused on just this reality that we live in. Minded also means it's like our mental inclination or purpose. It's the way we're kind of framing things. And James talks about this expands on it. What I really think is interesting, if we go back to the Garden of Eden, you know, the devil told Eve that if she ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that she would get wisdom, right? And of course, the most unwise thing to do was to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But it's interesting that I thought to myself, well, is there a wisdom that the enemy was giving? Like, was he giving her wisdom? And he actually was giving her wisdom. It was just not the wisdom that she was thinking. Oops, wrong way, wrong button. And James talks about this in James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil are there. So the wisdom of the enemy, the wisdom of the of Satan is self-serving, it's self-seeking, it's all about self, right? And it's all about envy and strife, and it, so it's all those negative emotions come from the wisdom of the enemy. But isn't it interesting? You know, when I think of wisdom, I always think of godly wisdom. But there is the world has its own wisdom, but it's all self-seeking and it's self-preserving. So there is a wisdom that the world looks at, but it's not godly wisdom. If you look in Galatians talks about the same type of thing, the works of the flesh. It says the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So those are people, you know, mankind who has not been regenerated by the Lord. They live in this type of life all the time. This is their normal. This is what they live in. Now, if we're born again, if we have the Spirit of God inside of us, right? We're a new creation. So this isn't our nature anymore. This was our nature before we got born again. You couldn't help but be this way before you received Jesus Christ, because man was made in God's image and likeness, right? At the fall, he spiritually died. He lost the presence of God. And so then he was walking as a fallen creation, and he took on the nature of the enemy. When we get born again, we have the Spirit of God come inside of us, right? And so now we have Christ inside of us, and we can live in a different nature. But part of the problem is our mind is still used to living this way, right? And even if you haven't done a lot of the things on there, you know, just having contentions and jealousies, you know, every one of us can say we've had those kinds of things in our lives. So it says you have to do all of them, just any piece of them can fit, right? But that's the nature of the enemy. That's the nature of the fallen wisdom of God. And that's the fallen wisdom of the enemy. And so that's all carnal. It's all carnal thinking. So to be carnally minded, to be minded in that way is death. Now, death in the kingdom of God, in the Bible, when you look at death, death never means ceasing to exist. Death just means that separation from God. Okay? So that's why Jesus told the disciples that Lazarus sleeps, right? Because to him, Lazarus even, because God does not see death the same way we see death. He sees death in people who have not received him as their Lord and Savior. They're spiritually dead. Death is separation from God. Okay? And so life is when we come into Christ, we have life inside of us, therefore we're alive. So that's the way God sees it. When somebody dies and they're a believer, all it is a shedding of the body. It is no big deal to God. He sees death so different than we do. Anyway, so to be carnally minded, to be thinking in that fleshly way, to be thinking in these ways is death. It's even if we're born again believers, right? We have the nature of God inside of us. We can still choose to think carnally. And the result of that carnality, even though we're still one with God, that never changes. It's still going to bring negative thinking, negative circumstances, negative outcome, right? So we don't want to be carnally minded. Let's look at what spiritually minded is. So Romans 8:6 is, you know, when it talks about being spiritually minded, the word spirit there means air, but it doesn't mean like a little breeze. It means strength, vigor, and force. So it's not just this little light thing. It's strength. Okay. So being spiritually minded is strong. There's vigor. There's force behind it. And James goes on to talk about it in James 3:17 through 18, the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So spiritually minded, the spiritual wisdom is the type of fruit that it's going to bring in our lives. Right? If we look at that same scripture in Galatians, talking about the fruit of the Spirit, it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So what I thought was really interesting about this is that if you can look at whether you're carnally minded or spiritually minded, is you can see the fruit of it. So the major indicator for us as to whether or not we're being carnally minded or spiritually minded is what emotional fruit do we see in our lives? So, right? Because a lot of this is talking about emotions. And so many times we're run by our emotions. And so emotions become not the basis of our lives, but it becomes the thermometer. In other words, the emotions are going to show me what I'm thinking, what I'm believing. They're going to be the thermometer in the room that'll tell me what temperature is. It doesn't change the temperature. It just indicates what the temperature is. So when I look at my emotions, if they're going up and down, or if I start my day, I'll say, what am I feeling? Then I'm running my life based on what I'm feeling. And all that is a thermometer. It's not a thermostat. A thermostat is something where I can say, okay, this is what I'm believing today. And this is the way I'm going to see my life today. And so I'm going to set the thermostat at this. Therefore, my emotions are going to have to line up with where I have set the thermostat at. Right? So it just means that we have a lot more control and ability over our emotions than we think. That's the good news, the bad news, and the good news. All wrapped into one. You know, it's interesting when it says that the fruit of the Spirit is life and peace. The word peace there is not talking about just, again, the absence of, you know, distraction. The word peace literally means peace with God. One of the first fruits that should come in our life as a born-again creation is understanding that we now have peace with God, that there is no condemnation, there is no guilt, there is no shame. The one stable rock in our lives should be knowing that God is absolutely for us, that he loves us, that he's accepted us, that is unconditional. And so if we're not living from that place, then we have our thermostat set at the wrong setting. Because that's the absolute foundational piece of our walk with God. And so to be carnally minded is to be thinking in the negative ways, which are going to bear negative emotions. To be spiritually minded is going to be thinking according to truth, and it's going to bring positive emotions, right? Let's look at Luke 6:43. The kingdom of God, let's look at these. So for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we should be having peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom of God is. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Okay, so fear is not a part of the kingdom of God. If we're bringing fear, we're not thinking kingdom. We're not thinking truth. We're being carnally minded if fear is coming in, because God has not given us a spirit of fear. Right? So these are all, again, these are all thermometers. These are all ways of looking and saying, wait a second, what am I feeling right now? Because what I'm feeling is going to indicate what I'm thinking. And so now let's go to Luke 6:43. A good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. That's again what I'm saying is that a lot of times what we do is we see what fruit is coming in our life, like we see maybe anger or frustration or condemnation or guilt or shame. So we see that fruit and we try to change the fruit. And especially if we're Christians, we're like, oh, well, I'm feeling angry right now and I know I shouldn't be angry because anger is not a fruit of the Spirit. And so we condemn ourselves. But the problem is the tree that got planted. So you don't want to just you don't want to try to change the fruit, because and this is what the Lord is always after. He's never looking at the fruit in your life. He's looking at the root. In other words, he knows if you are having emotional issues and difficulties, he knows what the tree is that's bearing that fruit. And his whole goal is to love you and get you to open up enough to him to let him in there to pull that thing out. Right? So he's not after changing the fruit, because he knows if he can get the tree out, if he can pull out that lie or thing that you were believing, if he can pull that out, the fruit will go. And so many times in our lives, we're running around saying, okay, I know what a Christian is supposed to look like. And we try to, you know, make us look into that image, and it looks really contorted. Instead of just understanding that we're in a process and he's weeding our garden. I loved it. Brian Lee said one time that, you know, the Lord showed him, I thought this was such a good analogy, that when is the, and we would all know this because of all the rain we've gotten, but when is the best time to pull weeds out of your garden? When the ground is really wet, right? And that is such a picture of the Lord soaking us in the Holy Spirit, because then when he gets you in the Holy Spirit, he can just pull that weed out and it is painless, right? So that's why being in his presence and just letting him love on us and minister to us and just reading the word and letting it wash over us. If you go around and try to pull a weed out and dry ground, it is not going to work. The roots are going to stay in there and it is going to grow and it's going to grow and it's going to grow. You have to let the Lord love you. Let his love be the thing that saturates you. And then, like I said, then the weeds are pulled out and you don't even know what happened, right? It's like Holy Spirit is anesthesia. Right? Anyway, so if we all look at our lives, what's happened is ever since you were born, God had a plan for your life and the enemy had a plan for your life. And so what the enemy did is he just tried with everything he could to try to form you into a carnal being with different things, events that have happened in your life, people that have been in your life, your parents, your in-laws, I mean, any person that's come in and spoken into your life, he's tried to conform you into a particular image. And what he's done through doing that is he's created a belief in each one of us and it's through that belief system that we see the world. And I mean, religion is a piece of that too. We've been implanted by religion. Right? So all of that comes to try to define us so that when God comes and finally is able to set us free and bring us into the kingdom, when he starts showing us who we really are, we can't accept it. Because the world has so tried to conform us and tell us who we are, and we've bought into that, that when he shows us the truth of who we are, it is difficult for us to receive that. And so that is the process of renewing our minds. I mean, if you look at Luke 6:43, when we look at Jesus, I'm going to skip a scripture here. When we look at Jesus, when he came, and I had used this when we were talking about Jesus as high priest, it says, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. I was reading that again, and I thought to myself, oh, look what it says, that he was tempted in all points as we are. That means we're tempted in all points. We're going to be tempted in all points. And so the temptation is always to believe what the world says about you, what your past experiences said about you, who you were. That's the temptation. Jesus was tempted in all points to not believe the truth of who he was. You know, we should look at Scripture not to disqualify ourselves, but to qualify ourselves. I think Jesus, when he was looking through the Scripture, he's like, oh, look, the Messiah isn't going to be good looking. I qualify. Right? Because it says that he wasn't going to, the Messiah wasn't going to be, there was going to be nothing physically attractive about him. He was just going to be very ordinary. And so, I mean, he could have been depressed that he's like, listen, I'm the Son of God. I should be the most best looking person on the planet. But instead, he didn't use his circumstances to define him. He looked in the Word and says, oh, look, the Messiah isn't supposed to be good looking. I qualify. Right? He could have been defined by the fact that he was the child of an illegitimate child and he was conceived outside of wedlock. But yet he could have let that define him. But instead he looked in the Scripture and says, oh, it means I qualify. I was born in Bethlehem. He looked at all the different circumstances of his life. You know, he was a carpenter's son. And people said to him, who do you think you are? You're a carpenter's son. It's the same thing with us. Like the enemy uses our natural circumstances, our carnal circumstances to try to define who we are. But Jesus had to go into the Scripture and look and see, no, this is talking about me. So when it says that God uses the simple things to confound the foolish, you can go, I qualify, right? Instead of looking in the Bible to say, why don't I disqualify yourself, you need to look at the fact that my life is a train wreck. Oh, look, I'm in the book. Like the your life qualifies you. It doesn't disqualify you from God. It qualifies you to be able to come into the kingdom and live in the fullness of who we are. But we have to agree with what he says about us and what he tells us more than what the world has tried to tell us who we are. And that's because that's exactly what Jesus had to do. We think he didn't have to do this. He had to do that. He had to look in the book and see that it was talking about him, and then he had to own it. And he was tempted in all points to not believe what the book said about him. And it's no different for us. It is no different for us that we have to realize that we are in the book too. But you will be tempted in all points to not believe what the word says about who you are. And so we have to decide that we're not going to be carnally minded. We're going to look at ourselves, our lives, our circumstances as defining who we are, but we're going to look at what the word says about us, because that is what being spiritually minded is. The hard thing about having slides is I can't jump around as like I used to. So temptation. So temptation is going to come to all of us. That's what temptation is. The enemy comes to question the word of God. That's what he did to Adam and Eve. And that's what he does with us. He comes to us to tempt us, to try to draw us. Now, when we look at the word tempting, it talks about the fact that the enemy, Satan, always comes to tempt. But his goal is to disqualify you. His goal is to undermine you. His goal is to show you as backslidden. His goal is to show you that, you know, that you're worthless. That is his goal in bringing any kind of test, right? But God, when things come and God is involved, his whole purpose is to qualify you. His whole purpose is to show you who you are. His whole purpose is to raise you to a higher level. So when situations come, and they do, when temptations come, we always look at them and we need to look at what this situation is bringing and how, you know, that the enemy has a plan for it to be your destruction, but God has a plan for it to bring a victory. This situation can bring you stronger in your relationship with God. It can make your faith stronger. It can make your understanding of who you are stronger. It can do all of those things. But we need to look at the situation and not be carnally minded about it, but be spiritually minded about it. Know that this has come, and it's my opportunity to look inside, look at what the word says about me, and rise to this level for this situation. It's never there for your destruction. God is never bringing a situation or a part of a situation that is there to destroy you. Situations come for victory, right? So that's how we have to be spiritually minded when situations come, is to look at it the way God sees it and how he sees us and who he sees us to be. So in our most challenging things, we always are well equipped. God would never have you in a battle that you're not well equipped to handle. He's not that. He doesn't send you into battle without the armor that you need and without all the equipment you need. You know, I know someone once said that, you know, when you come into a situation, if you really look at your past, you'll realize that God totally prepared you for that. Because he knows what's coming. And if you're following him, he will always be preparing you for what's coming. And all we need, I just say that when we get into a situation, you don't stand there going, I'm ill-equipped, because that's not true. He would never, ever, ever leave you ill-equipped for any situation in your life, ever. So Jesus was not defined by his circumstances. Let's go to Romans 12:2. So our job is to not to be conformed to this world. We know the scripture by heart, I'm sure. To not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is the good, acceptable, and will of God. So our task as believers, as children of God, is to be constantly renewing our minds to the truth. So when we're looking at situations, what does the word say about this? What does the word say about this situation? What does the word say about who I am in this situation? What has the word equipped me for? If we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, well, I'm sure we all know this one too. We walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So, good news and bad news is that we can take every thought captive. It's like, that seems like an ominous task. I don't know about you, but it's just like, oh my gosh, that seems really exhausting. Because there just seems like there's a lot of them running around in there. But this wouldn't tell us to take every thought captive if we couldn't take every thought captive. And so I was thinking about this, and I just thought to myself, I know we all do this, but how many times you just go halfway through your day and you're like, oh my gosh, what junk is running through my mind? Like your mind just going on and on and on, and you're having conversations with people that you aren't even in the room, and boy, they get your point now. And then she said, and then I said, and then she said. And it just goes on and on and on. Or you just get to trail this negative stuff that just goes on and on. And it's like there comes a point where we just have to say, you know what? This is my mind. And you do not have permission to rent space in here anymore. You know, I mean, we have to get to that place of being angry because we need to realize that it is affecting us. There is no thoughts bear fruit. Belief systems bear fruit. And if we have that stuff, that trash running through our mind, it is going to bear fruit. And we don't always want the fruit that's coming. And so we have to, we come to this place of like, and the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us with this. But we can't just let our minds go on idle. Because stuff just runs through. And we have to get up to a point where we're like, you know what? I refuse to let you run through my mind anymore. I am not going to let fear run through. If I'm experiencing fear, I need to stop. Wait a second. Okay, if I'm experiencing fear, what am I believing? What am I believing in this situation? Well, I mean, the word says that his perfect love casts out all fear, and that God did not give me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so I need to stop. If I'm experiencing fear, that means I'm believing something wrong. So in this situation, Lord, what am I believing that is creating fear? I need to stop and then check that belief and then pull that out. If I'm experiencing guilt or shame or condemnation, that's the thermometer, right? It's saying, wait a second, the temperature is up to here. What's wrong? Well, what's wrong? Guilt says I'm not forgiven, and that's not true. Jesus has forgiven us of everything. As far as the east is from the west, our sins, our transgressions have been removed, right? Shame says that it's still who I am. And that is not true, because if you look at a situation that was in your past and you wish you hadn't done it, that means you are not the same person who did it. So it's gone. It's been completely redeemed by the Lord. Condemnation says I'm worthy of judgment. Well, who took all judgment for us? Jesus. So guilt, shame, and condemnation have no right to be in our lives. So when you see the mind going that way and just running down that train track, it's like, wait a second. You have no right to be here anymore. I am not going to be carnally minded. I am spiritually minded. Therefore, there is life and peace in my life. And if I'm not experiencing peace, it's because I am meditating on the wrong thing. And if this is my mind, I get to choose what I think, I get to choose what I believe, and I'm going to believe the truth of God's word. And so we stop that train right where it is, and we go back to truth. But that's why it's so important for us to have the word in our hearts. If we go to John 16:13, I have it in both the New King James and the Passion Translation. When the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. When the truth, in the Passion Translation, when the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will unveil the reality of every truth within you. That sounds spiritually minded to me. He won't speak his own message, but only what he hears from the Father, and he will reveal prophetically to you what is to come. All of that is spiritually minded, right? Because it's not looking at the natural, it's looking at the spiritual. And so when we get into those places where we're struggling, it's Holy Spirit, show me truth in this moment. Bring to my remembrance, Lord, what is the truth in this place? Let me tell you, and if you stop and you, I'm just feeling that peace. Like when you just stop for that moment and you say, wait a second, Holy Spirit, what's truth right now? He will reveal it to you. But we have to stop. We have to listen. We have to pause. We have to disengage all the emotions that are trying to rage. That's never God. When our emotions are raging, it is never God. And we need to step back and pause for a minute and say, Holy Spirit, what is truth right now? What is it? Give me spiritual vision of what's going on here, right? And so he's more than happy to open our eyes. He's more than happy to minister truth to us because that's his job. That's what he's here for, is to lead us into all truth. If we go to Philippians 4, Scripture says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The Lord spoke to me about this part of the scripture, and he said to me, Melissa, that's what I want you to be thinking about yourself. Whatever's true about you, whatever's noble about you, whatever's just about you, whatever is pure about you, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, they're all the virtues, that and any that those things that are praiseworthy, meditate on these things about yourself. And so many times the conversation that's going on in our minds is all negative. I'm not good enough. Why did I do this? Why didn't I do that? You know, I should have done this better. I should have done this better. Let me tell you, that is not the Holy Spirit speaking to you. If we were to take children out of children's church and bring them here and sit them in a little chair, and if we could get them to sit still for any length of time, but if we sat them there, and if we as a group took the garbage that runs through our minds and started speaking it to that child, we would all be horrified. And we would say, that no way are you going to speak that over that child. And yet we let that stuff go through our minds 24/7. That is not the Lord. That is carnal thinking. That is the enemy bringing negative reports into your mind and in your heart and trying to get you to believe lies. And we are not to be carnally minded. We are to be spiritually minded. We are to be meditating on the truth of who God says we are. And if we would not allow it to be spoken to a young child that's innocent and pure, why would we ever let that stuff go through our minds? We need to question this stuff. We need to, because it's a tape that runs and runs and runs and runs. Well, you need to hit the off switch. Because Christ is in you. He has come and he has redeemed you and he's made you a new creation. And that stuff does not apply in your life anymore ever again. And God's voice to you is always encouraging you, always lifting you up, always saying, attaboy. Does he bring correction? Yes, but correction is just like when I told you he corrected me. His correction brings inspiration. His correction gives you, oh my gosh, that's right, I can do that. That's the way his correction is. It's never condemning. It's never belittling. It's never putting you down. He's always building us up. He's always pointing us towards truth. And that's what being spiritually minded is. We have to take every thought captive. I think it's interesting. He brings you peace, exactly. And if you're not experiencing peace, if you're not experiencing joy, if you're not experiencing love, if you're not experiencing those things, then you're not meditating on Philippians 4. You're not meditating on good things. If you're feeling condemned and ashamed and guilty, you are not meditating on good things. And again, it's peace with God. So if you're feeling guilty and ashamed, that means that you feel like God's judging you. He's not judging you. That the author of those thoughts is not God. So we need to question that stuff. It's really interesting to me, in Genesis 3:13, after they ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God comes to Adam and Eve in the garden. And I think it's so amazing. Because the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. And what I think is really interesting, first of all, you need to know that the serpent, the enemy, is coming to you all the temptation, asking you to eat the fruit of guilt shame, condemnation. You're not good enough. Your past disqualifies you. That's what he's offering, right? And we don't want to eat it. But isn't it interesting that she knew the garden so well, and she knew what it was like to be in the presence of God and be named. The minute she ate the tree, she knew the serpent had deceived her.
The fact that she recognized it was a serpent.
Yes. See, that's the thing. And that's what happens to us is we eat, but we don't realize we've been deceived because we don't know the truth. She knew the truth so well that when he deceived her, she was like, oh my gosh, I got deceived. And we need to come to that place that we are so renewed in our mind and we know the truth so well that if we do get tempted to bite into a lie, instantly we know, wait a second. Whoa, look at the emotions I'm feeling. Look at the thoughts I'm having. I was deceived, and we reject the fruit. I think that's amazing. She knew she had been deceived, but we don't. We're so used to just carnality and life and negative emotions and negative thoughts and everything that we can trail down that for a month before we're like, oh, wait a second, don't I know God? Like, wait a second, is this really, you know what I'm saying? Like, we can go down a long way down that road before we realize it. But when God came to her, she knew she had been deceived. That's the place we need to get to. I mean, so they fell, but we don't fall, right? Because Jesus has secured our salvation for us, but there's negative fruit that comes from us thinking in a negative way and being carnally minded. But we have anchored in the truth that when that thing shows up and we bite, we spit it out right away because we know our God. We know he's good. We know that those thoughts, those emotions that are coming are not of him. And so we can reject it right away. But we have to know the truth. That's why we have to just marinate ourselves in the word. So, you know, it comes down to renewing our minds to the truth of who we are. But it's so much more of just not who we are. It's like, how do you think of yourself? Like, do you realize when, first of all, that you have a destiny and purpose? Like, when you wake up in the morning, are we just waking up in the morning because, oh my gosh, I've got to go to work and I've got to pay my bills and that's why I've got to go to a job? Or are we getting up in the morning like, I have a destiny, I have a purpose, there's a reason God woke me up this morning. There's lives I'm going to impact, there's people I'm going to touch, there's a reason for me to be drawing breath today. I'm not an accident. I don't care what your circumstances are that you and how you were conceived, you are here because God ordained you to be here. That's why you're here. And so you need to wake up in the morning knowing that your life has great value. That's being spiritually minded. And that it's not about getting up today and just trying to get through the day so I can hug my pillow at the end of the night. I get up in the morning because I have destiny, we have purpose, we have a reason for being here. God has people that we want to touch. And I'm even trying to, you know, the other day, problem with something in the bank and I had to call and I was just like thinking, I don't have time for this and I don't want to, but the Lord, I just felt like the Lord said to me, you know, you could just look at it as there's somebody at the bank you need to bless and this mistake was just an opportunity for you to call and talk to that person and minister the love of God to them. So we can even take the little inconveniences of our lives and look at them spiritually minded and say, yeah, this may have happened. Yeah, maybe I did get a flat tire on the way to work. But the guy from AAA is going to come and maybe I can just show him who Jesus is maybe I can be different than every other customer that he has that whines and complains and how come he didn't show up on time, and I can just bless him and love him, maybe give him a tip and just be Jesus to him. Like it changes the whole paradigm of your life because I'm not here for me. You know, and it's not about being inconvenienced. It must be that there's somebody that the Lord has for me to bless. And so that's how that God can turn all things together for good. I say he's the ultimate chess player. The enemy never checkmates God. You know, it doesn't matter what happens. There's always an opportunity that God will take that negative situation. It may not have been his will, but he can still turn it for good if we know and love him, right? And so we just, whatever situations come up, We just look at it through his eyes. Lord, how can I look at this spiritually? How can I think of it from a kingdom standpoint? Because it's about taking territory back for the kingdom. It's about blessing people, about manifesting Christ. How can you stretch me so I can grow more in understanding you and demonstrating who you are? So the carnally minded says, oh my gosh, this is such a huge inconvenience. I can't believe this happened to me, and this is really going to mess up my schedule. That's carnal mindedness. Spiritually says, oh my gosh, God, you're going to turn this together for good, and people are going to be blessed, and the kingdom's going to be expanded. Right? Amen? Because why? Because I've got the Holy Ghost living inside of me. I've got Jesus inside of me. And when I walk into a room, like, demons flee. Like, you need to get that picture of yourself. When I walk into a room, demons flee. They're afraid of me. When I walk into a hospital, sickness leaves in the name of Jesus. I mean, because Jesus told us, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Cast out demons, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, right? So we can do that. Now, when we don't see it, it's just because we're still too carnally minded. We need to become more spiritually minded. We have to change the mindset. And if we can't go there in our imagination, if we can't start seeing our lives that way, we'll never see it in the natural. So we have to start playing it out in our quiet time with the Lord, meditating on these, thinking about these things, seeing ourselves differently, realizing we have a call and purpose, and realizing that we can take any situation and he can turn it to good if we just change our perspective from being carnal to spiritual, because we are children of God. Remembering, too, that you have great, great value, that your life is of great significance. It's of great significance. Like I said, you are here for such a time as this. You are here with a purpose and a calling. And you are here. We need to think generationally, too. You know, it's just like even this church. I mean, this church is just, you know, what we can do now in our lifetime. This church is about setting something up for generations to come. Your life isn't just about you living and then dying. Your life is about, what have I planted? What seeds have I left behind? So that my ceiling can be someone else's floor and they can walk in greater anointing, greater understanding. Like, we can't just think about this life as what our little experience here. Like, what are you leaving behind? What's the legacy that you're leaving behind for generations to come? That's being spiritually minded. It's not just about my experience here, but what am I leaving behind for the generations that come behind me? That's the way we need to think about our lives. And again, when the thermometer is, what are the emotions I'm experiencing? If I'm feeling helplessness, hopelessness, despair, despondency, depression, you know, overwhelmed, agitated, irritated, frustrated, jealousy, all that stuff. If those are the emotions I'm feeling, I'm carnally minded, and I need to look at, what am I believing so I can pull that tree out and put the truth in. But if I'm walking in life and peace, God, expand that. Expand my understanding of the kingdom. Expand my understanding of who I am. Show me the truth of who I am in you so I can expand the kingdom and expand the life to impact greater and greater people and generations, right, for the kingdom. Amen? Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you so much for your presence here today. Oh, Lord, I just thank you for who you are. And Lord, I just speak peace over everyone. And Lord, the Holy Spirit, this week, that you will just show them, that teach them to think as in terms of a thermometer. Like, wait a second, what am I feeling? And if what I'm feeling isn't life and peace, then what is the lie that I'm believing? And let's pull that lie out, Lord, and replace it with truth. Because, Lord, there's so much that you want to do in every person's life. Lord, I just thank you so much that you just quicken this to all of us and make it real in our hearts and minds. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.